So welcome to Monday Mindset with Your Coaching Matters. This is Coach Donna Stott. Coach Mike Stott is going to be leading us today in our topic called Fierce Conversations. It's a book. So tell us, Mike, take over.
He's holding the book up. Today is March 11th, 2019. And I read this book over the holidays. And in fact, we're going to be spending more time on it at our event here at the end of April. The first day of May. So if this book sounds at all intriguing to you, or if you think you could benefit from having some fierce conversations, then you might want to consider coming to the event. And I'll do the link, or Donna will put the link into the chats, because I can't see anything but the PowerPoint right now. So why do we need fierce conversations? First of all, it'll be useful just to say a fierce conversation is one in which we come out from behind ourselves into the conversation and make it real. Okay? So often we have these lackadaisical conversations with people that matter to us, and clients and everybody else. We just don't get real with them. And this book gave me more tools for being real than perhaps any other book that I've ever read. I couldn't believe it when it was recommended to me by one of our clients, but it's been out for 10 years. And not only that, I shared it with one of our other great coaches, Stephanie Tsai. She hadn't heard of it either. And she, excuse me, she loves it also. So a conversation is the relationship. A conversation is the relationship. I remember the first time I met Donna, and I was so intrigued. We literally stayed up way past my bedtime just chatting and learning about each other. And it was joyous. And I had lots of energy. And the next morning I woke up thrilled to be alive. Little did I know, I kind of hoped, that I had met the love of my life. But that conversation, wouldn't it be great to have a conversation with your clients where you came out at the end of it, where they said thank you, and you both had more energy than you went into it, okay? You both had more energy than you went into it. And realize that if the conversation stops, all the possibilities for the relationship become smaller, and all of the possibilities for the individuals in the relationship become smaller. If we compromise, if we lower the standards about how often we talk, what we talk about, and most important, what degree of authenticity we bring to our conversation, it's a slow and deadly slide. So because many of you have taken my For Sale by Owners course, and Jan, get ready. But think about it. If you called a For Sale by Owner once, like most of them, and you got the brush off, you didn't ask one additional question, and you never made contact with them again, did the possibilities become smaller and smaller for that seller? Because we don't really know why the seller's selling. And if they're trying to buy a house to be closer to the grandkids, and they don't end up selling the house and they end up staying put, think of all they've missed out on. So a conversation, as you get in deeper into it, even though sometimes it takes a lot of courage, it really opens up potential and options. It opens up potential and options. And when I think about a conversation, when I have to have a tough conversation with a seller like I did yesterday, we have about a $390,000 house and a buyer came in and we are $17,000 apart, I've had a tough conversation, a fierce conversation with the owner, as does that $17,000 really matter in what they're trying to accomplish? Now, they haven't given me an answer, but I got them thinking, so the potential, the possibilities grew. Think about it. Does anybody have an example that they want to share where they got into a conversation and it took courage, but it came out well, or they didn't get into a conversation and you didn't get the business? Anybody have anything they want to share? And Donna, I can't see the screen, so. Okay, well, we're just going to move on.
Raise your hand if you want to share. Ask the question again, Mike.
Okay, the question is did you ever have a conversation with anybody, personal or business, where you took the courage to ask that additional question and it really got into a whole deeper level where a lot of potential opened up? where you asked the seller, what's the most important thing about the sale? And you discovered that they were moving for a very noble cause, or they were selling. We had one client recently, when we asked her this question, she's selling so she can fund leaving the banking business and becoming a minister full time. How exciting.
I have a seller that recently was referred to me. And when I talked to her about why she wanted to sell, we went into a couple of details. And what she's doing is selling and moving into an RV to drive cross country the rest of her life. That's her plan.
What an adventure.
So we went really deep into what does that look like? Oh my gosh, I know other women that are doing this. It's a whole phenomena going across country. Single women are spending their retirement in RVs across country. It was an incredible conversation that had nothing to do with listing her house. And she is so committed at this point that it has to do with us enrolling in her dream, right?
So wait, Donna, hasn't she referred three other people to you?
The story actually is she was referred to me by somebody who ended up not using me, and that person has given me four referrals because she didn't understand I sold real estate. My bad.
Right, except for getting into the conversation and really leaving, and this goes right into the seven principles. The first is to master the courage to interrogate reality. Now, we, as one of our coaching tools, do look, see, tell the truth, and take authentic action. So it's about looking and being curious. So notice what Donna just said, everybody, how brilliant it was. We had a client, we had a potential lead that wanted a rental and ended up buying a house instead and didn't understand that Donna was in the business, or that John and I are in the business of selling houses. So she looked and she was curious, and what she said was my bad. And not a whole lot of judgment there. She didn't beat herself up a lot. And she was very gracious. And
it was only $125,000 condo she was buying, so. Yeah.
And well, even if it had been $1 million property, yeah, I think you would have handled it about the same. And because Donna got into that curious, question-asking, fierce conversation mode, this woman appreciates Donna and has now referred four other people to her in what, like 2 months, right, honey?
Yes.
Okay. So
it was the best list. It was the best sale I ever missed.
Yes. Okay. So get everyone's reality out on the table and question it. So an example might be, we're looking for a bigger house. Okay. Rather than, in my mind, in our area, that immediately evokes 3,500 square feet, a 10,000 square foot lot. But you might want to ask the question, tell me more about that. What does a bigger house mean to you? The question reality, and it turns out they're living in a studio and they're looking for a two bedroom is all they really need. Oh, what a difference. Okay. So why does a for sale by owner think he can sell it himself? Why does a seller want wiggle room when they list the property, or negotiation room? Why are your clients trying to sell or buy? Now, we're not going to go into all these answers. We're just giving you hints today. But the point is, ask one additional question. See, it's better if you're looking for water, it's better to drill a well 100 feet deep than 100 1 foot deep wells. Thereby, this is our big difference, everybody, between Bold and Mike Ferry and all that. I'd rather have you get into one really good conversation per day than 100 really shallow conversations per day. So
that's
think about
really
it.
Different. You guys hear it? It's really different. It's not about making 50 contacts or 100 contacts a day, or even 40 or even 30. For most of you, it's about having 10 to 15, 16, 17 conversations a day. But
right.
Really
one
good
one. One of them
one.
Gets really deep. One of them gets deep, and that's what you want. And so the second is to come out from behind yourself into the conversation and make it real. See, in our coaching model, we also say success is doing what you said you would do consistently with clarity, focus, ease, and grace. So drill down to the current impact for them. And we call this the island of here and now. We're going to spend a lot of this at the event. But drill down as to why they want to sell. what is the challenge? What is the problem? Sometimes it's they're being transferred to Dallas. We're in Atlanta, so they have to sell. Other times is they want to downsize, they want to upsize, they've got all the different reasons, but what happens if they don't move? You need to drill down to that level. And then what's the future implication? Some people are moving to be closer to grandkids, or they want the fourth bedroom so the third kid can have their own bedroom. They need an in-law suite so mom or dad could move in with them. So what's the idea of potential? I oftentimes have clients that want to buy a house they can entertain in. I like it because they tend to be more expensive and they want the fancy pool area. That's the island of potential, but you need to drill down to the level of how great will it be when your family and friends and coworkers come over and see what a great house you have. You need to discuss what's an ideal outcome, and then you need to get clarity on what's the next action to be taken. And for most of us, it's not signing a listing agreement or writing a contract for a buyer. It's merely to meet face-to-face. For most of these conversations, the next action is to meet face-to-face. We used to call it CETO, come into the office. Come into the office, let's meet, let's discuss more. Okay? Because when you meet face-to-face, you're able to be more real and get out from beside yourself versus being over the phone or texting. Please, texting is great if it starts the conversation, but it is not a deep, fierce conversation. Email is not a deep, fierce conversation. Over the phone can be, but there's a lot more ease and grace when you're face-to-face. Okay? The third is to be here, be prepared to be nowhere else. Okay? We have a tool called the Green Lens where we see our clients and everybody we meet with, and in fact, everybody as a hero. And when you're in the presence of a hero, be present. We must transform, Susan Scott, the author says, we must transform the way we speak, the way we ask, the way we listen, by really asking and really listening. While someone is talking, where are your thoughts? While you're talking with someone on telephone, do you scan your email? Nope, nope, nope. And can you tell when someone else is scanning his or hers? Yes. For relationships to move forward and upward, you must have a fierce affection for the other person. You must have a genuine curiosity about what is going on with that person at any given time. And you must have an insatiable appetite for learning more every day about who he or she is. And that's on page 96. One conversation at a time, you are building, destroying, or flatlining your relationships. Wow. How strong is that? This is a huge decision for our clients. Our clients are buying or selling real estate. It is most times the largest purchase or sale that they've ever made, and we don't treat it appropriately with the respect. We don't treat them as heroes on their journeys. We say things like buyers are liars and sellers are yellers. Ha! If they're lying or they're yelling, it's because we haven't done our job and made them comfortable, and we haven't had a fierce conversation. Any thoughts on this point, anybody? Okay. You can chat in, and I can see that. The fourth principle is to tackle your toughest challenge today. And she made this great thought. I've never really known about it because I grew up in Hawaii and we didn't have moles. I got here to Georgia and we had moles. And what was interesting is rather than whacking a mole like that game, which is what I wanted to do, I actually got a BB gun. And I don't shoot guns. We have a BB gun and I was going to shoot the moles. But the yard person who says, the moles are merely looking for grubs or worms. So what we want to do is we want to treat and get rid of the grubs, not the mole whacking. So the toughest challenge is oftentimes not really our toughest challenge every day. Everybody listen to this. Our toughest challenge is usually what we think about our toughest challenge. See, the toughest challenge isn't getting on the phone and talking to 7, 8, 9, 10 people and emailing another 4 or 5 and getting into the conversation. The toughest challenge is what we think about that. The stories we make up. Donna, how many times have we heard somebody say they don't like to cold call and be a bother?
Lots.
Yes.
I mean, that's a lot of people say, I want to be coming from a spirit of contribution. I don't want to be bothering people.
Now, Donna's office is right behind mine, and she hears me when I lead generate all the time. And I oftentimes laugh and smile, and the people say, thank you. But I still have to get myself to do it. See, the challenge isn't doing it. The challenge is letting myself do it with ease and grace. If you have a challenge, if you really do have a tough challenge, follow a format, and it should only take you 60 seconds or less. Wow. How many times have we asked the seller for a price reduction and it's an hour conversation? Or we have a challenge with a home inspection and we think it's going to be a 2-hour conversation. The issue is, be concise and get to the heart of the problem, challenge, or opportunity. Where did the problem originate? How does the system reward it? What's the root cause? Now, she works mostly with large companies, but let's say you have a cracked foundation in a property. The issue is the home inspector has identified a crack. They said it's probably just a settling crack and not significant, but he recommended or she recommended that we get a structural engineer out there because we want to make sure that it's not going to allow water to come into the basement or it requires a lot of work. So the ideal outcome is that, you know, you either accept it, understanding it, or we get a structural engineer out there. Okay. Now, a structural engineer is probably going to cost us, you know, $1,200 to $1,400. And I have, you know, three or four that you might want to interview. And what I'd like for you to do is decide if you want to get a structural engineer, let's pick one and get them scheduled today. Now, that's a big issue that a lot of us would spend a lot of time on, but it was 60 seconds, almost exactly. Okay, so the issue is, get it out, no emotion. You gave them a lot of their heroes. You're going to let them make their own decision. Okay. The fifth point. Okay, there's five. This was so important because we see so many agents struggle. There's five common errors in confronting behavior. Okay, now this isn't, so you have a buyer that's seen 25 houses. And then you call them up and you say, how's it going? Well, then you're going to hear, well, it's not too good, Mike. We're wondering if we need to go in a different direction. And you know, we've seen a lot of houses and you don't seem to be listening to us. Okay. Another, you know, the behavior we're confronting is that they're not choosing a house or they're not writing up an offer for enough money to buy the house. So we use praise as a lead-in. Wow, I really admire how enthusiastic you guys are at looking at dozens of houses each weekend. Okay, that don't use praise as a lead-in. And then you soften the message to avoid hurting feelings. Replace pillows with clear requests. Okay? Assuming we know what the other person will say, consequently, we may not really hear them. This is my biggest problem, is we blast with machine gun talk. Go straight to the issue, say it in 60 seconds, and then invite your partner or your buyer to talk. I tend to overtalk. I belong to On and On Anonymous. Okay? And realize this, and then I'll go through a quick example. Fierce conversations cannot be dependent on how others respond. Wow. If you know something must change, then know that it is you who must change it. Your job is to extend the invitation. My experience is that when the invitation is extended with grace and skill, it will be accepted, even by those you have almost given up on. When we confront behavior with courage and skill, we're offering a gift. Healthy relationships require appreciation and confrontation. So you have a buyer that's looked at a lot of houses. They may have made an offer. They offered, you know, $30,000 too low, and it's sold to someone else. True experience. Last week, we had it with people. And then I was also adding into it, it was about a 35 to 45 minute drive to show them houses that they liked. So I was getting upset. So what I asked them when we saw this house is, look, we've looked at, you know, in this case, I think it was 22 houses, and you lost the last one because we didn't offer quick enough. You seem to like this house and it checks all the boxes. Do you want to make an offer? And they made an offer and we countered back and forth and they bought it. Even though the sellers countered back at $10,000 more than they said they would pay for the house. Because they're heroes, and they actually wrote to me, the wife wrote something like, we really like the house and we know $10,000 won't matter over time. Wow, what a hero. What a hero. So when you confront behavior, try that pattern. Okay, the fifth point is to obey your instincts. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, is it right or is it wrong? And we have to say yes or no. And Donna is perhaps, my wife, is perhaps the best coach on talking about minimum standards. Donna will, you know, when we were in Hawaii working, we would not take a listing at the end that didn't pay us a $6,000 commission. And we had any number of people, I could point to probably a dozen examples where they sold a property they could have listed with somebody else, and they could have sold and charged less, but they worked with us instead. And then I felt good. I felt excited about working with them, even though they were paying us essentially a 5% commission.
And it's critical, guys. Role. It's really critical that you determine what is your minimum value that you will be bringing to a transaction, the absolute minimum, and don't do a transaction for less than that unless your plan includes to do a few pro bonos a year, and then you've got to track those pro bonos and don't do any more than that.
So there's, for me, I'm trying to work expireds into our system. And I tried doing a great big area that was a half an hour anyway from the office, and I didn't get around to dropping the packages off door to door. So I set a new minimum standard. I'm only going to do it in the zip code that's on the way home from work. And as such, I've dropped off probably 20 packages in the last month or month and a half, and I've gotten into conversations with four or five people, whereas before I'd gotten in conversations with none. So sometimes that minimum standard and having your standards of integrity and life's intentions helps you to say yes or no with clarity so that you can experience ease, which is a lack of struggle.
And you know, it's like this, but when if you only imagine that you were assigned as a real estate agent 100 people, you weren't allowed to work with anybody except these 100 people. Imagine that for a second. Would you choose the right 100 people?
Yes.
And would you do really deep conversations with those 100 people so that you would get 100% of their business and referrals from those 100 people?
Right. So those 100 people, 9 to 11, are going to sell each year, and they're going to know on average 4 other people. So that 100 people really becomes 400 people, and you're looking at 36 to 50 deals a year if you got the majority, you know, you got those deals.
I mean, even if you got half of them. The point is we're spreading ourselves so thin, we're not allowing ourselves to have fierce conversations.
That's brilliant. And, you know, it's okay to say no to that for sale by owner that just sort of rubs you the wrong way for some reason. Trust your instincts. But you're only able to say no is if you're getting into deep conversations every day, fierce conversations. The sixth is to take responsibility for your emotional wake. There are people who take the heart out of you and the people who put it back, quoting Elizabeth David. Why don't we be people that put the heart in to our clients? That we're always so gracious. I have a new saying on my wall behind me, welcome to the party. And I'm an effably gracious host, no matter what comes my way. Yesterday, my son 17-year-old. I'm sort of excited. I get to meet his prom date tonight. We're going to a movie together. And I had all set up. I was feeling so good. And we were supposed to go last night. And he said, she can't go. Well, that's not a guest that I wanted to my party, but there was a guest that was at my party. So graciously, I said, well, let me see if I can change it. And I went in and to refund the tickets took two clicks of my mouse. So rather than being a typical jerk, I was gracious. And I put the heart back into it. And as such, the dinner tonight and the movie tonight will be much more enjoyable than it could have been. Think about it. For a leader, there is no trivial comment. And make it no doubt, we see you all as leaders. You're leaders for your clients, you're leaders in your family, you're leaders within your real estate offices. Something you might not even remember saying may have had a devastating impact on someone looking to you for guidance and approval. By the same token, something you said years ago may have encouraged and inspired someone who is grateful to you to this day. Everything each of us says leaves an emotional wake, positive or negative. Our individual wakes are larger than we know. And I had a really tough experience once several years ago. We had been in a class together with a woman and, you know, she had gotten her doctorate in psychology. And I said, so what do you really think? And it was a no bullshit, fierce conversation. She says, I've often wondered why you're so mean to people. Ah! And it turns out what I thought was fantastic, she was experiencing as mean and rude. Boy, did I make a change in my life. I'm not perfect, but I'm better than I used to be. An emotional wake is what you remember after I'm gone. What do I want them to remember when I'm gone? Not that she was okay. I don't want that on my tombstone. He was okay. How many of us want that on our tombstone? A negative emotional wake is created at times by a lack of appreciative comments. Wow, this is a big one for some of us. If we grew up in military type families, some of us didn't get a lot of appreciative comments, and we have to learn that skill. And it's a very valuable skill in sales. If there's any possibility that people don't know how much you value them, there's a conversation that needs to occur. Appreciation is a truly value-creating activity. Be specific about what you like, love, or appreciate about them, but you have to tell the truth. You have to be sincere about it.
This reminds me of the four boxes.
Oh,
say how
it?
We show up directly affects how others show up.
Oh, my brilliant observation, honey. And then the seventh is to let silence do the heavy lifting. The more emotionally loaded the subject, the more silence is required. Begin to wean yourself from noise. Never mistake talking for conversation. Silence is the best kept secret for generating dialogue. Ask questions and then give them the space to listen and to hear and then to answer. Those of us like me, so what do you guys think about the house? I really like it. I think it's a great deal. So what do you guys, you want to buy it? I would buy it if I were you. Sure formula for failure. So you guys, this was just a teaser. I have to say, I am so excited about the Art of Enrollment. This is going to be, I think, another hour and a half session during the event. We expand on this, lots of points that I didn't go over. We'll go deeper. We would love, I think, Donna, we have room for what, 3 or 4 additional people?
Absolutely.
So you can go to www.yourcoachingmatters.com/event.
I don't think it's event, it's summit. It's
what?
Summit, not event.
Summit, oops.
Yes.
Or you can click the link that's in the chat box.
Yeah, I did put it in the chat box.
Okay, why did I think it was event? Oh, well, it's
I
off
don't
the
know.
Screen now. Everybody, you guys are all heroes. You're wonderful. You know, as always, it is such a pleasure. I mean, I really look forward to these Monday calls and the Tuesday coaches in because I get to hang around with people like Josh and Meredith and Terry. And I get to acknowledge my beautiful wife and Ray and Jan and Dwayne and Kayla and everybody else that's on the call or listening to the recording. It gives me more energy. It gets me excited. It gets me clarity on what I'm teaching. And I really appreciate the opportunity. Everybody go out and Everybody nod their head. I'm going to get into a fierce conversation today.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye, everybody.